Hello, this is the Library Talker, also known as the Library Lady. I'm Library Talker at Blogspot at librarytalker.blogspot.com, and I'm Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is currently hosted. So, I just finished recently reading this book called At the Speed of Lies by Cindy L. Otis, and I've got to say, first of all, the cover, amazing. It was definitely a draw. I don't know how much it actually has to do with the story, but it was a really cool cover, so yay. That's always good. And for me, yes, I do judge books by their cover, partly because I figure if it's a really badly done cover, it means the publisher has no faith in it. And if it's a really cool cover, then maybe the publisher cares. Granted, again, with this not quite matching the story, it's a little confusing, but still, cover's cool. It was written apparently by someone who used to be in the CIA, and it's basically a kind of a young adult version of a QAnon thing. So our main character is Quinn Calvet, and she's an interesting person. She's kind of a little one note, but what the thing that makes her most interesting is that besides the fact that she, you know, is our main character and everything, is that as a main character, she is a disabled main character. And that has absolutely nothing to do with the plot. It just is who she is, which is kind of like how life is, right? Yeah, just because a person is missing a leg doesn't mean that's all that person is. There's other stuff. So she has rheumatoid arthritis, which makes her extremely weak. Her joints are extremely painful. So while she can kind of walk, she needs a wheelchair just because it's just easier for her to get around. And even then, she still can get exhausted. So she happens to be in a wheelchair. She also happens to be really good friends with people. She has a lot of friends, a lot of acquaintances as well. And she runs an Insta called The Wine. And so this is a key part of the plot, is her running this thing about her small New York town. She just has posted for a few years now. She's got a couple of sponsors. So she's, you know, making a little bit of money, but her hope is that, she will be able to use this to kind of help pay for college, because she's not nearly as smart as her older sister, who is probably going to get scholarships and blah, blah, blah. Her sister Ava is getting ready, is a senior, and Quinn is a junior, and Ava's getting ready to go to college, and she wants to join all of these clubs, and she wants to be a part of all of these things because she needs to boost her college resume, obviously. Quinn is also best friends with her friend Xamina, and we end up with a few things going on with the fact that Quinn has been hanging out with her sister Ava and Xamina all her life, but now Xamina has a boyfriend and is spending a lot of time with him, and so Quinn is feeling third wheelish, and then Ava is joining all these clubs and everything, and so she's missing out on time with her. They're not exactly super rich or anything either. They live under the store that their parents own, which kind of is a touristy thing. So when tourist season is over, which it is at the start of this book, things slow down, become problematic, that other stuff. So all that background leads us to a new club being formed at the school, and it's called Defend Kids. And their initial statement is that they're there to try and find these two missing children who were just kidnapped right out of their front lawn or whatever in Rochester, New York. And so they need to, you know, child trafficking and how dangerous it is. And the person who's leading the club is kind of a jerk, and everybody's really afraid of him. So his initial way of getting people involved in the club is to just scare the crud out of them and force them into it. But at the same time, you know, what seems like a legitimate cause. Let's go out and just try and find these kids. Let's do what we can. Why aren't the police doing anything? All this other stuff. And so it begins pretty you know, what normal people would want to take. Well, kids been kidnapped. Let's go find them. Totally what a normal person would want to do, right? Go find and rescue these kids. But it goes further and further and further, and Quinn gets wrapped up in it and somehow becomes a part of it, whether she wants to or not, because then it turns out there's this other group called D3, and they follow this one posting person, allegedly just one person, but we don't know, who posts online with the moniker of Defender, and it's three, the number three for every E in Defender, so D3F3ND3R, hence the D3. And this person, whoever this is posting tons of conspiracy theories, constantly posting about all this dangerous stuff that's happening, the cabal that is out there, the U.S. government is covering things up. And so this is where, of course, the QAnon major stuff happens. So possible real news getting turned into conspiracy theories and problems from this Defender guy. And so Quinn's initial posting of let's find these kids and let's help out the Defend Kids group becomes suddenly the Defender going, look at all of these things, and going back through her old posts and making up stuff as if she's, you know, sending messages for D3 about nodes and wolves and we've got to go rescue things. And so there ends up being some parallel points to actual QAnon issues like Pizzagate. So her posts about, you know, the fact that there are, you know, the name of her school mascot, I believe, is the wolves, suddenly becomes, oh no, the children are the wolves and they're being kept in nodes and then shipped out here comes this truck coming to this bank. It's a big old like Brink security truck, and it comes once or twice a week at the same time, and that's how they're moving the children from one place to another. And so towards the end of the book, some guy live feeds going into the bank to try and rescue the children, just like the Pizzagate guy went to the pizza place to try and rescue them from the basement that does not exist. So yes, there's obvious parallels. There's obvious, this is QAnon. And the fact that Quinn's name starts with a Q kind of works in there as well. But so while QAnon itself is never mentioned, it's all D3 and the Defender, it's basically young adult QAnon. It's a way of helping to explain how these things get so out of control. What starts as a possible just very innocent and legitimate attempt to do something right with the world can end up going completely nuts, so crazy. So there we have it in that. And so the end of the book does have kind of a few pages of, we're going to explain to you how this happens. Now that we've shown you throughout this thing, Quinn asks the question of, well, how did this happen? And so we now have to explain it. So that's kind of, it pulls away. So the story is decent. The characters are decent, but they are not really fully fleshed out. They have, you know, there are some issues with how they're written and how the whole thing goes. I like the fact that Quinn does have this disability and that it's just a part of her life. So it is mentioned as being something that she has to deal with as part of her life, but it's not just mentioned once and then ignored. It really is a part of who she is. So her arms getting tired from using her wheelchair, especially with her bad joints and everything, that comes up with, you know, her day-to-day, what she has to deal with, how her life is like type of thing. And so these types of things add to the realism of the overall story. But again, it does kind of get forced. It is good to have this out here, I think. While this isn't very well written overall, I think the idea that we need to, and it's really sad that we need to have this out there, but the fact is we need to have this out there. While Q seems to have reduced in like constant a barrage of everything out there being Q, it doesn't mean Q is gone. It doesn't mean that whole issue isn't gone. There's still Q people out there. There's still people who believe that JFK Jr., who died many years ago in a tragic plane crash, really is alive and is going to come out and be president. You know, there are still those believers. There are still the conspiracy theory people. There are still, you know, and it still happens. I mean, it happened long before Q with the 9/11 and all the other stuff. And the government has done it and it's all fake. And you know, this exists. And so finding ways to explain the how and the why and the things to look out for, things to keep an eye out on, things to go, hey, this is a problem. Those things are good to, you know, have in a novel form to help, hopefully, help people open up their eyes and be just a little bit more cognizant of bias and the weird things that are out there. Make sure you do your research. Make sure you check your facts. You know, that was one of the big things that I was getting frustrated about in the very beginning of the story is, why don't you just go online and look it up? Well, everything that has the information about those two poor missing kids that started this whole story are all cycling through themselves. They're each, you know, that's one of the big things is those kinds of conspiracies only cycle through their own stories. So they're referring to each other. The people who believe in those are commenting and using references from other people who believe in those things. And then those people are then going back to the people who referenced them and saying, look, see, and it just becomes a cycle. It's just a whirlpool that's drawing people down in the middle. And so being able to see how that works, see how the crazy kind of starts, is kind of interesting. Again, this was written by a former CIA person, so it does have, you know, elements of facts and information and understanding of where this comes from, but it also means that it's not necessarily a person who has dedicated their life to being a writer and improving their skills that way. On the grand scheme of things, it is something that I would recommend to people, if only because of the timeliness of the message. This is not going to be a book that in a few years is going to be, like, remembered well or, you know, a classic. This is never going to be one of those. It's not even going to be Twilight-esque. It's not going to last that long. It's going to be here, and then it's going to be gone. It has its purpose. It has its moment. So on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being, oh my gosh, police tape, avoid, stay away from, pay me back for the hours I lost on this, to 5 being a most amazing book ever, 2 being eh, 3 being eh, and 4 being eh, this is an eh, I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5. Because again, it has a message. It is kind of, you know, important. There's some good stuff that's coming out of this that is very important to know, learn, and understand. And hopefully just giving the young adult group, people who read young adult lit, giving them kind of a fake version of Q, so that if Q or something else Q-like comes out, maybe they're just a little bit more kind of jaded about it and will think just a little bit more on what that actually really means and what's really going on. There's that. So again, this will not last. This will not be out forever. No classics here. But it is a decent read. It is okay. And again, it has a very important lesson, or at least a bunch of ideas that are important to share for how this all happens. How does conspiracy happen? How do these theories get where they are? How do they spread like fire? How do we deal with it? What is the way to respond? Because in the craziness of Q, there is no way to respond. You can't just say this is fake, because then somebody's going to turn around and say, look, the government's trying to shut us up. There's not really, you know, that it ends up kind of circling more. Whatever you do to try and stop the crazy tends to just increase the crazy. You almost just have to, like, let it do its thing and walk away from it, and let it burn itself out, you know? So anyway, that's At the Speed of Lies by Cindy L. Otis, O-T-I-S. Again, cover's great, although, again, not much to do with anything in terms of the book itself. It doesn't really seem like it matches quite what's going on, but it is a very cool cover. And I like the top of Trust No One, Question Everything, which is kind of both what you need to do about conspiracy theories and what conspiracy theorists believe about everybody else. Trust No One, Question Everything. That's kind of the problem on both sides. So At the Speed of Lies, Cindy L. Otis, 3 out of 5. And this is the Library Talker, also known as Library Lady, and I hope you guys all have a really great day.